I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gunning, and this is Betrayal. Bonus Episode 2, Educator Sexual Misconduct. We've addressed betrayal in various ways during the series, and we've heard from many of you that personally identified with Rachel, the victim that Spencer Heron was convicted of sexually assaulting at Kell High School. During our production, we've learned more about how pervasive educator sexual misconduct is.
Sexual misconduct is a range of verbal, visual, and auditory and physical behaviors that are sexualized interactions with students in schools. Anything from language to students that is sexualized, asking them what they like to do for sex, what kind of sex do they like, to things that are visual, for instance, masturbating in front of students, never touching them, but masturbating in front of them, or disrobing in front of them, or sending them pictures of penises or breasts or vaginas. And then physical assault issues like forced sex, or in terms of minors, it may not be forced sex. They're minors, they may be confused. They're often told the person loves them and cares for them and they're gonna get married and things are going to be okay.
That's Dr. Cheryl Shakeshaft. She's a professor of educational leadership at Virginia Commonwealth University and the author of a congressionally mandated report on educator sexual misconduct. She's been studying school employee sexual misconduct for more than 25 years. Our team reached out to her to learn more about the problem. Dr. Shakeshaft believes schools have not done nearly enough to prevent educator sexual misconduct, and that the onus is often on the children to report. We have received so many emails with similar stories to Rachel's. We felt it was important to raise awareness to help students, parents, and schools be aware to avoid predators like Spencer.
We have expected the children to be the people who police the school and prevent things from happening. So we give them training about good touch, bad touch. Nothing wrong with that. They should know those things, absolutely. But adults also need to know exactly what they should do when they see things, when things are going on, when they're bystanders and stuff happens in front of them. They need training to be able to understand what that means. You know, not just say, oh, he's just a friendly teacher, he hugs all the kids, or she just really likes her students and yes, she goes out of her way for them. You know, they need to understand what the boundaries are, that nobody gets to cross those boundaries, and that if you see boundary crossing, you report it. And then the people who it gets reported to need to understand that if there's a report, you need to actually do something. you need to, in most cases, call the police and have an investigation.
And sometimes, even well-meaning teachers don't understand the dynamics of teachers who engage in sexual misconduct. We heard from a teacher who joined the staff at Kell High School after Spencer Heron was arrested, and one of his comments really stood out. He wrote, "Many teachers at Kell would tell me they didn't really believe the charges, or that every story has two sides, and it really made me feel uncomfortable because of the deplorable charges. I found it odd that so many employees were complacent or passive about the story."
In schools, they often allow teachers to break rules, taking students in their cars, being alone with students behind closed and locked doors in their rooms. Teachers see things of their colleagues and they don't respond. I ask teachers, "Did you see anything?" And they say, "Yes, I did. It was, you know, really irregular and not allowed behavior." And then I say to the teacher, "Well, did you report it?" And the teacher will say, "Well, no." And then I ask why. And the teacher says, "Well, you know, if I was wrong, I might get a colleague in trouble. And I didn't want to do that. And it's kind of awkward, you know, we're friendly. And I just didn't report." I've never heard a teacher say, "Yes, I reported. And I reported because even if I'm wrong, I wanted to make sure that if something was happening, somebody was looking into it." So the issue is that in schools, we don't do anything. And by not doing anything, by not using prevention methods, we enable those people who either intend to abuse or come around to abusing because they start crossing boundary after boundary after boundary. And pretty soon there they are. We enable them. It's like having roads with no stop signs.
Perhaps teachers don't know what they should say.
We need to practice the language of reporting. Just get people familiar with it. Instead of saying, "I don't think this is really real. I mean, I'm probably making something out of nothing. I mean, it's just, I really hate to bring this up." Say, "Harold has his classroom across the hall from me, and I see him there regularly alone with individual students. It concerns me." Or, "I saw Janine having dinner with one of her students and they were sitting really close together. I'm concerned." We need to teach people to just give information, and then it's up to somebody to take the next step and investigate.
We asked Dr. Shakeshaft, how can we change that thinking and culture in schools?
Every school should have training about patterns and what happens and what you're supposed to do as an adult. Every school should have a set of behaviors so that people understand what's acceptable and what's not acceptable between adults and students. Many kids just think that it's okay. They say, "If this weren't okay, somebody would have stopped it. Everybody sees how he acts or how she acts." So kids don't really understand, and they think of it as dating. They don't understand the issues. So the kids see it. Kids talk about it, they see it, they know stuff's going on, but they don't report it because they don't code it as something that is supposed to be reported because no one's ever taught them.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Dr. Shakeshaft explains that there is training for sexual harassment, but schools could do more.
When you ask most schools if they have training, they say, yes, we have training. And then when you ask to see the training, what you see is either training about sexual harassment peer-to-peer. So the adults get training about not harassing one of their colleagues. Kids get training about not harassing one of their peers, but neither get training about the adult sexually harassing the student. Or they get trained on mandated reporting, but mandated reporting training is about reporting things that happen outside the school, not inside the school.
What else could schools do?
We need people who walk through the cafeteria at lunchtime and look at what adults and students are doing. People who, when they walk down the halls, are looking at adult and student interaction. When they go by a classroom door, are looking in and seeing what's going on. When it's before school and after school and the classroom's empty, checking the classroom, seeing what's happened. We need people who are, you know, on the move and looking for the right things. It isn't that people don't walk down the halls, but they aren't looking at adult to student interactions. They're looking for some student who's misbehaving. They're not looking for these things, so we need supervisory behavior. When you hear a rumor, even if it's abstract, we need people who will investigate.
And on the occasions someone does report it, the investigation often doesn't go far enough.
They tend to call the teacher in and say, are you having sex with Anne Marie? And the teacher says no. And the person says, okay, thank you, I didn't think so. And then the teacher steps out and texts Anne Marie and says, erase everything off your phone, and if you get called in, tell them nothing's going on. And that's the end of it. They don't follow up in supervision, they don't follow up in trying to see what's happening, they don't do an investigation, they don't ask the friends, they don't do anything.
One of our listeners shared a story that still upsets her years later. She tried to do the right thing. She wrote, I was a sophomore in high school, and one of my teachers used to hit on me and tell me very inappropriate things. For instance, how he would rather have me beside him in his bed instead of his wife. Nothing physical ever happened. It was all verbal, and the mental toll it had on me was so much more than my teenage mind could take. He would follow me in the hallways. I couldn't take it anymore and broke down in tears to my mother and told her everything. We went to the school and told the principal everything. He seemed skeptical. I was brought in the next day for questioning. Needless to say, nothing happened, and he was slapped with a week off. When he came back, it was worse because now he demanded to know why I said anything. So what should happen?
Call the police and have an investigation. That's what you need to do.
And what else does Dr. Shakeshaft feel is non-negotiable?
No sharing phone numbers, no sharing social media, no having friends on Facebook, no TikTok, no Instagram, no nothing. School districts are supposed to have email that are monitored. They can have texting systems that are monitored so that you're using the monitored texting systems for the school. There are lots of ways to do electronic communication with students when you need to that are monitored by schools and are therefore safe. Now, that doesn't mean somebody might not also use their telephone, but we should at least start with the rule that no, you can't use your personal telephone number, you can't use your personal telephone number for texting or your personal email or your personal social media. School districts have Facebook social media pages. They have other things where if you want to make an announcement to your students, you want to do whatever, you can do it there.
And we can't just say this one time at the beginning of the school year. It needs to be messaged over and over again.
It is a simple rule, and it should be followed. And it should be followed with big signs up all over the place and little pop-ups that come up and other things to remind people. Don't give out your telephone number to an adult in the school. Don't give out your telephone number to a student in school. Don't text. We need to change the patterns.
Dr. Shakeshaf understands how much we put on our teachers.
I was a teacher, and I thought this job's the hardest job I've ever had. It was wonderful, but it's hard work. And so I don't want to slam the teachers for that. Yeah, they're busy. But it is a school culture problem. If you have a school culture that's the culture of student safety is first, and these are the things we do, and we talk about it, and we share our strategies, and we bring it up, and we don't bury it, and we don't just say, hey, we've got a handbook and policies, read them, and then tell people that's training, which it's not. You know, we can change a culture where we say we don't cross kids' boundaries. That's behavior that's not acceptable here.
The Betrayal Team thanks Dr. Shakeshaft for her insight into educator sexual misconduct. There are new developments in Jennifer's story, and we'll share them with you in an additional bonus episode soon.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.